Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless.
I'm Steve Walters.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is Rewind for a week shortened by the July 4th holiday, which is why we do not have this week a Wisi Was There. So, J.R., let's talk about, for the umpty-third time, transportation funding.
Yes.
Okay, so early in the week, Assembly Speaker Voss and his leadership send a letter to WMC in which they say, Foxconn has indicated its desire to locate in southeastern Wisconsin, with up to 10,000 jobs, yet the enumeration of I-94 north-south through Racine and Kenosha counties continues to be delayed. The next day, the governor offers, you describe it, a compromise, an attempt to break the impasse?
An effort to try and reach a deal.
Okay.
I'm not sure how serious the effort's being taken by Republican leadership, but it was a prod to get these guys moving. Now, take the assembly letter first. This is basically a put-up-or-shut-up effort by Robin Voss.
Yeah.
Well, the WC and 16
and
other
16
groups.
Other groups, yes.
Okay, you guys don't like this stuff. Well, show us how you do it.
Including Walmart, yeah.
And so WMC has a letter back today,
yes,
saying all these ways to save money.
Repeal the state prevailing wage, I'm reading from their letter, preempt local environment regulations. By the way, let's lay off more than half of our 755 engineers. And just to summarize, how about a 5-cent increase in the gas tax and a registration fee increase of $25 per vehicle, which would be one-third from the $75 check you and I now write. Excuse me, go ahead.
So I didn't really get good look at like how much they outline in savings, how much it would save. Does it save $1 billion? I don't think it does. The introduction to the revenue enhancements, yeah, kind of says this is not politically viable, essentially. Like in this environment we're in, you couldn't really do these things, but here's what we would do.
But you asked us, and since you asked us,
so it doesn't really add much to the conversation ways because they're acknowledging that these fixes won't work with Governor Walker's no gas tax, no registration fee increase pledge.
But
the Motor Carriers Association yesterday, they put out their own statement saying no on the heavy truck fee, but we do a reasonable gas tax increase. Again, something that Governor Walker said he will not sign. So in terms of meeting the two requirements, which are the assembly side is no new bonding without new revenue, the Senate side is, we're with Governor Walker, we want now $750 million in new bonding. There is nothing I've seen yet to break that impasse. Now, look at Governor Walker's letter. He's trying to kind of cut
lowering bonding by $200 million is a win for Assembly leadership. And one more sentence.
Yeah.
We propose contingency bonding that would be linked to additional federal funding for the mega projects referring to east, west, and north, south.
So take the first piece. Governor Walker's realizing, it seems, that Assembly Republican leadership does not want to bond $500 million. They're making this whole thing about, their argument is, it is not more conservative to borrow and put on the credit card future road projects than it is to pay for it as you go.
Yeah.
Well, Walker's trying to address that by saying, okay, let's drop it down from $500 million to $300 million. Been talking to Robin Voss yesterday, he said, look, it's not the level of bonding, it's revenue to pay for that bonding in the future. He said, it doesn't matter what the level is. If you don't have new revenue to pay it off, it eats into the, basically your basic, how much money you have coming in, and more is going to debt every year.
Your
so
operating
fix
budget.
That.
Yeah.
So that's not really satisfying Robin's demand, right? The contingency bonding, there's a kind of an interesting caveat to this. So the feds have this redistribution pot of money. Basically what it is certain states don't use their federal money for road projects, whatever. It goes back to the feds because unused, and they redistribute it. Over the last 5 years, according to the fiscal bureau, we've gotten about $33.7 million on average those 5 years.
Is that the Gordon Hintz memo?
Yeah. So according to the LFB memo, DOT has indicated it's going to seek $341 million.
So we've been getting 33.7. Mm-hmm. DOT thinks they're going to 10
ask
times it?
Ask for 10 times that.
The ask is going to be 10 times that.
Yeah. Now, a couple of caveats.
How
to that.
Does this work? Okay.
First, in Walker's letter, doesn't say how much they'd ask for. He just says we're in good position to get, you know, this kind of federal money. Let's say how much he's going to ask for. DOT or the governor's office told me yesterday we're not putting a final number yet on what we're going to ask for. So this Hintz memo is totally separate from Walker's letter.
Yeah.
They just asked for it a couple weeks ago, got it back, and went, oh, wait a second, he's asking for this. But two and two together said, hey, guys, here's what they're asking for, contingency bonding, right?
Or
revenue.
At one point, Senate Republicans were willing to accept Walker's $500 million in bonding and add another $350, which would be general fund supported. Mm-hmm. Have they given up, torn up the $350 million?
Fitch said yesterday $750 was the number, so that's a little lower than $850. Now, with this federal money, it's not clear what you could do with it. Let's say perfect scenario for Scott Walker, they get $340 million. You don't necessarily have to spend all of it just on roads. You could use that as the revenue for the borrowing. You could borrow a bunch of money with $341 million in a pot. Now, will they get that amount of money? Some people say unlikely. But they're trying to hitch it to, if we get this federal money, you can then pay for the borrowing for Southeastern mega projects and keep 94 North South, East West, and the third leg of the zoo all on time, moving forward. That, Senate Republicans, should be a win for you. The third piece of that letter is no gas tax increase, no fee increase, which is, according to Walker,
red flag waved in front of Assembly Republicans.
A win for taxpayers. So where's the new revenue? That's the big question. Robin's bottom line is new revenue to pay for new bonding. Where's the new revenue going to come from? I'm not sure that this is going to appease him. Now, in talking to folks the last couple of days and this flurry of stuff going on, there's been this perception of, okay, you know, Robin Voss is outnumbered. Got Scott Fitzgerald and Scott Walker saying no revenue increase, so Robin's odd man out. In some ways, that's true, right? He's outnumbered, but they need Robin to pass a budget. And as long as Robin's members stay with him on his kind of stance, he has leverage on these guys of, you have to meet my demands to get something done. Scott Walker wants a budget done sooner rather than later. I'm not sure Scott Walker's passionate about whether certain road projects get done. He is passionate about your tax bill. He's passionate about looking like they can govern and about bolstering his reelection prospects for 2018.
And he's passionate about getting a budget because, remember, he said, I will announce my reelection plans after the budget. Mm-hmm. So all this has him marching in place politically. I think the WMC, which is a non-starter with Walker because you're raising the gas tax and the vehicle registration fee, I put in a call to Fiscal Bureau. I didn't get an answer. But I think 5 cents upper on the gas tax and a 25 dollar upper on vehicle raises more than $300 million, but that's moot. But JR, my bottom line question on transportation funding, we've quoted the same people, Walker, Voss, Fitzgerald, as we've done a number of other weeks. Did we make any major progress this week?
Not that I've seen. It's interesting, like this heavy truck fee that Amy Loudenbeck had kind of floated. I talked to a couple of members of the Assembly Republican Caucus last week to see, okay, how did your meeting go about the fee? And Bob Gannon, who is one of the more conservative members of the Assembly, from Slinger, said, if I get these other pieces of the budget that I want, I could accept that fee, that user fee, as a user fee. So I'd be okay with it. I wouldn't like it, but I'd be okay with it. So to me, that suggested that caucus is still with Robin about a revenue upper. They're still holding tight. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's there. There are 63 members, I think it is, 64. So I'm sure there are some who have said, no way, but we should be doing this. But as long as he keeps 50 together, he's got leverage.
Okay.
And until that breaks, I'm not sure what happens.
Okay, third week of impasse on transportation funding. Mm-hmm. No major dramatic breakthrough.
No, K-12 looks like it's pretty much there.
Yeah, then you move taxes, on to taxes.
You've got a problem still with the personal property tax versus income taxes. It seems like
the
Senate Republicans are digging more in.
Forestry property tax levy.
Senate Republicans are digging more in on personal property tax. Talking to John Niagara in the Co-Carriage Finance this week, he said, we don't want to give up the income tax cuts to do the personal property tax because we think it's a bad politically and a bad trade-off because we want to take care of middle-income earners.
Okay, new subject. The Board of Regents met today and met yesterday and they're meeting again today. Mm-hmm. Yesterday they approved. They went along, of course, with a mandate, no increase in resident undergrad tuition. I think this is year 5, isn't it?
Yes.
Year 5. Okay, but they did approve an increase in student fees, room, and boards. Those range, according to the Journal Sentinel's graphic, from $29 on the River Falls campus to $539, which is a 3.5% increase on the Eau Claire campus. These are seg mm-hmm. fees, room and board. No big surprises there.
No, I think like Green Bay has like a new gym, like health center or something like that. So they've got some infrastructure stuff mm-hmm. that students have approved. I think maybe same thing with Madison, something like that. So that's not a big surprise. But with the kind of rub this week was about allocating this $25 million in a lapse that goes away. So lapses of state government are, we give you this money, you give us a piece of it back. The lapse 3W goes away, and they have a normal way they've done it before, you'll be mad at us when we get less money, or we'll get less money under this new plan to divvy it up, which irritated some You'll Be Madison backers. But in yesterday's meeting, President Cross was saying, well, wait a second, you know, yeah, it's being done differently, but if you take in the whole pie, look at tuition, look at these other things, they're actually going to do better. So don't get too upset about this divvying up to their campuses.
And it treats Madison fairly, Mr. Cross said. Mm-hmm. Also, they're scheduled to vote today on a resolution announcing support for freedom of expression on all 26 campuses. Is this their way of saying, we understand the Assembly passed that bill mandating this, we'd rather it not become law, do you think?
I'm not sure what impact it's going to have. There's still a big push going on for that bill. It'll be interesting to watch, though, how that bill gets through the Senate, if it does, and then how they're going to, if it does get past them, and the governor, who seems interested in the idea, how they would actually use it in practice. Because, as we talked before, it seems like a lawsuit waiting to happen if you try and punish somebody for
free speech.
Speaking up.
Free speech. Also, you guys at WisPolitics did an open records on the proposed mm-hmm. Thompson Center, $1.5 million a year for 2 years. What did you find?
Found that part of the concerns popped up about the center has been that it's going to be governed by a board that will be basically made up of partisans, and also that there's been these concerns that this board, the way they wrote it, would have authority over its budget. The Professor Owens, who had kind of really pushed this idea for a couple of years.
Poli-Sci in law school.
We got emails to Robin Voss saying, basically, this is not the way I want it to be, and I can't commit to this. Like, on the eve of it being announced, saying, I can't do this. But they went back over with some compromises they thought that would actually give the Rebecca Blank authority over the budget. But the budget proposal, or the amendment put in the budget by Joint Finance, doesn't give authority to the budget. So you're seeing some rub on campus about how this is set up, the partisan makeup of the board, and some professors going, wait a second, this is not how we usually do things around here. And you're seeing it's going to be a little bit of a rub, a sticking point on campus.
Yeah. Okay. Next subject, Democratic candidates for governor. Tony Evers sat in that chair before the April election in which he was reelected, and I asked him any desire to be governor, and he said no. But now he puts out a memo. I've been approached and asked to run by a number of people. I can say that I'm considering it and keeping the door open. Explain the change, the evolution.
I've been hearing about Evers for a little while and confirmed it. He had something in the PM update yesterday, Thursday, about from sources that I had that he was thinking about, and he's on to talk to other media since then. The bottom line is that if you look at Wisconsin's landscape the last 6 years, how many left of center candidates have won statewide going back to 2010? Well, you have Tammy Baldwin, 2012, and Barack Obama. You have Ann Walsh Bradley, Supreme Court. Doug La Follette, who's been Secretary of State forever. And you have Tony Evers. Now, he's in a nonpartisan office, but he seems to be aligned with Democrats, so let's put him in the Dem camp right now. Okay. He won with, 60-some percent?
He did very, very well against Mr. Holtz.
So if you add that up, he's a example of somebody who's been successful statewide in the last 6 years. That gives him some credibility. Now, you have to pull back a little bit. The drawbacks of Evers are, well, what else has he done besides education?
That was my next question. He's proven his expertise, and he's got a fair funding plan for education. But when you get into the area of taxes and prisons, he has no record on those.
Now, of course, the flip side is other candidates who are coming out from the private sector, other places, they don't have records on anything. So you can, if you're an Evers-type candidate, build out that record. But he's got one thing to run on right now. Now, Scott Walker has obviously paid a lot of attention to K-12 education this budget. He sees it as a vulnerability and has tried to shore up that flank with the
$649 million
over two to put in K-12.
Yeah.
So does that take any wind out of Evers' sails? Well, we still have problems in Milwaukee. We still have inequities around the state. There are still education issues that he could dive into. But in talking to folks, he'd have to broaden that appeal beyond just education to make him a legitimate statewide
candidate.
But
let's loop back to the Charles Franken poll. People were asked, what's your top priority? What would you pay more taxes for? Da-da, K-12.
Mm-hmm.
K-12. You've been doing some work. It's interesting. Randy Bryce, Democrat mm-hmm. against Paul Ryan. It's early, but he says he's going to run the iron worker against Paul Ryan. He's been getting some national buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Bryce.
His campaign, so this week he raised in the span of 12 days about $430,000, I think it was. That's a pretty impressive haul for a first-time congressional candidate. Now, Bryce has run for a legislature before, not been successful.
Yes.
But for a first-time congressional candidate, that's pretty good. Mike Gallagher, now Congressman from the 8th Congressional District, his campaign said a year and a half ago, in the second two months of the first quarter of 2016, he raised $520,000. At the time, that was a record fundraising haul for a first quarter for a first-time House candidate in Wisconsin history they could find.
Yeah.
So that's 2 months for Gallagher, 12 days for Bryce, being about $100,000 less. That's not bad. What I'm picking up talking to people is that he is going to become a vehicle for Democrats nationally to register their outrage with Paul Ryan. Much like John Ossoff in Georgia, some of these special elections this year, they become vehicles for Democrats nationally to protest President Trump. Paul Ryan is somebody Democrats nationally right now don't like very much. So he could have an appeal to those folks financially, pull money in. Now the questions are, though, can he keep it up? And how will he develop as a candidate? He had an interview with CNN this week that did not go very well. Republicans jumped on it. When you have Republicans who take clips of an interview and fire them out right away to reporters, you know they think there's some vulnerability there. He kind of stumbled a question about North Korea, which we're in the middle of the North Korea situation right now. Also asked about single-payer health care and the possible price tag. So those are things that he has to work against to polish up as a candidate. But he has drawn some buzz, had this viral video of this guy's iron worker.
He did, and the way that ends is, Paul Ryan, you come back and be an iron worker, I'll go to Washington. It was a very powerful ending.
So he's got some appeal, but let's look at that district, though. It is not a terribly Democratic district. He's actually fairly good for Paul Ryan. So there are a number of hurdles for him to overcome, but he's getting a lot of buzz. The question becomes, what's the environment like next year, and like, what will Ryan's number be? I mean, if we're looking at the national environment, and it's bad for Donald Trump, I mean, he's really doing poorly, you will see Republican-leaning districts be in play. But Ryan's district is decently Republican. I'm not sure how bad it has to be for the president, his numbers, to put that one in play. And oh, by the way, Paul Ryan raises not just hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of
dollars.
What's
he sitting on? Didn't you report 9.3?
He had 9-something.
9.3 million?
In the last quarter. Now, yeah. We just finished the second quarter. We should get a new number any day now from Paul Ryan. I'm sure it's going to go up. But yeah, he's got a lot of money in the
Meanwhile,
bank.
Bryce is going to have a primary fight. There's a Janesville school board member who announced.
Yes. There's another candidate who moved in from Ohio, but they have a major announcement this afternoon, so yeah. I'm not quite sure that's going to be yet.
I see.
But yes,
Yankovich.
Yes.
David Yank, yeah, okay. And Nayland, who lost badly to Ryan, says he's going to come around again.
I don't think Paul Ryan's worried about that primary challenge.
Okay, next subject. Today's Supreme Court ruling 5-2. Mm-hmm. The opinion was written by Justice Daniel Kelly. Mm-hmm. J.R., if you and I deny an assessor the right to come into our house, we have no grounds to appeal the property value ultimately assigned to our house. This has been a state law. It was contested by a couple in Racine County. Mm-hmm. And Kelly, writing with four other justices, with Abramson and Walsh Bradley in dissent, said that law is unconstitutional. Now, because that doesn't that threaten the whole system of property taxation and the constitutional uniformity clause? I think that's a pretty big deal.
That is definitely one of the worries from some people. I'm sure you're going to hear local governments say we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, we have a couple of Republican lawmakers looking to, address
Senator Tiffany and Representative Jarkow are going to come out with property
personal
owner's
property
bill
rights.
Of rights, I think, on July 20th.
So how is that going to work? How will you be able to how will they work challenges to assessments? That's going to be interesting to watch. But the court, and what's interesting was you had Rogensack also did a concurring opinion to all this. They're kind of over the board on a couple different issues, but the bottom line is you cannot ban somebody from appealing their assessment because they won't let somebody in their house.
Right. I think that's a very interesting ruling. Okay, let's end this way. Let's express our condolences to the family of former State Senator Ted Kanivas, who served from 2001 to 2010. We're sorry that he lost his battle with cancer. The funeral is 10 o'clock tomorrow. I remember Kanivas as a pro-business guy. He was glib. Any memories?
He was been doing a show called The Insiders for us. It was actually our sister publication, Wisp Business, for a while.
Right.
He was in a month ago, and I never would have known he was sick.
Right.
Tan, maybe look a little thinner than he usually does, but Ted Kanivas always was kind of like the guy who liked to, slap backs and shake hands. I'm not saying in a bad way at all.
Right.
But he loved the kind of,
give and take.
Yeah. And the last show he did for us was actually with Chuck Koala, a former Democratic lawmaker, and they kind of bemoaned the lack of the ability to get past the partisanship, that it's a different world than it was before.
They
Kanivas loved that backslide.
They also condemned the huge money in that last show. Our condolences to the family of Ted Canevas. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for July 7.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.